Welcome to Fanboy News Network, your guide to geek culture. I'm Jeff Harris.
And I'm Daniel Christensen.
So, yeah, we took a little bit of a break.
It was justified.
It was justified. Well, part of it is, I think there was some advantages. Part of it was I had to have a doctor's appointment that geeks of a certain age have to happen.
Yes, and yeah.
And decided to take a couple extra days off, and so it was, what about our normal recording night? And we decided, no, I'm just going to do what I have to do, and that's as most as we're going to get into that. So, yeah, a little extra gap this time, but it did give us an advantage.
What, now that we have to dap dance around and make a, try and figure out a way of making a spoiler-free Infinity War commentary?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it precisely.
Oh.
Nail, head, bang.
Well,
very good.
That's why you keep me around.
But that's not where we're starting.
Oh, we're not.
Sadly.
Oh, no. It's Khan's behaving badly, isn't it?
It is Khan's behaving badly. We need a musical sting.
Yes,
for we do. Khan's
dum,
behaving
dum,
dum. I'll do research. I'll talk to Celadane, who's my musical coordinator for Family Skeletons.
Well then.
Anyway, Khan's behaving badly. Do you remember Dash Khan?
With the ball pit. The Tumblr, basically, not reunion, but let's meet each other in real life.
Yeah, and they offered the moon and gave you
the
foothills of Modesto.
They offered you the moon and then they showed you their backside.
They did. Yeah. So that was an infamous con that was not well organized. Here's the thing, though.
Mm.
It happened.
Yes, it did actually occur. People showed up.
As also did Galacticon, which was in our own backyard.
Yes.
The Battlestar Galactica convention that at the last minute canceled all the modern series guests.
Oopsie.
Because money concerns, and so they got rid of the expensive guests.
Go figure.
Well, those two had at least the integrity of the event went on.
The show must go on, mustn't it?
It should, however.
However.
So we are now going to discuss, as I'm sure many people who listen to a geek podcast have probably already heard, Universal FanCon. It was very confusing because initially I thought, is it for fans of Universal movies or Universal horror as a horror fan? No. The Universal was meant to be a convention celebrating diversity, with a focus for nerds of color, of LGBT,
awesome,
and differently abled.
Hey, this sounds lovely and wonderful, and of course, it sounds like it's doomed for failure.
Well, here's the problem. So it started out 2 years ago as a Kickstarter.
2 years ago.
Yeah, it's 2 years ago they started a Kickstarter campaign to get the initial funds for the convention.
That sounds like a pig in a poke. Okay, yeah.
And so here's the thing, as we're talking about it, I've done a lot of research on it, but I do not have in front of me my internet device that would tell me all of the particular names, which is fine. I don't always necessarily want to name names.
Of course.
But what you had was some prominent in corners of geek culture people. One of the main names between the behind the Black Nerd Girls site.
Okay.
And a prominent podcast. So they came forth, said, hey, we're going to put on this really great convention in Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
One of those East Coast towns starts with a B.
Yeah.
Plane ride.
So the thing that happened, they ended up collecting in their initial Kickstarter $52,000.
That's not chicken scratch.
But where things start looking initially fishy is if you look at some of the tiers of support and what they gave you.
Ooh.
See, somebody did some research. So, but I'm putting the cart before the horse.
Oh, okay.
So they gathered together their initial funding, and then they started putting the convention together, which was supposed to take place at the Baltimore Convention Center.
Sounds totally logical, yes.
And they had deals with hotels and people where they were selling vendor space and they were selling tickets and they had guests lined up. And I'm not, and actual guests. I mean, Hodor from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tick from The Magicians, a show you still need to watch.
If you insist.
And LeVar Burton was even going to attend.
Hey.
So, you know, some.
Reading Rainbow guy.
Yeah. Well, actually, that kind of gets into some of the stuff later. And it was set to take place on April 27th, 28th, and 29th.
Okay, so just like last weekend.
Last weekend. So, interestingly, due to shifts in movie schedules, the same weekend Avengers Infinity War opened.
Yes.
So, here's where things go south.
Initially. Oh, boy. Is this just going south, or is this the wheels coming off?
Both.
Okay, okay, all right.
Both is good.
Both, well, not in
both
this case.
Both is not good, but... So what ended up happening is, a little over a week before the convention, a bunch of the attendees who had reserved rooms in the hotel block got a notification from the hotel that their reservation had been canceled.
Ooh. When you hear from the hotel, that's not a good sign.
No. So they reached out to the hotel going, what do you mean my reservation's been canceled? I'm going to this convention. And the hotel, notice so far, only communication we have is from the hotel.
Yeah.
The hotel says that event's been canceled.
Oh.
Now, this starts setting off the warning bells. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. So people start reaching out to the convention organizers. We're hearing that the convention has been canceled by the hotel. Now, at this point, no notifications have come out yet.
Yeah.
But they start bombarding online the prominent organizers.
With good reason.
Later that day, and I want to say it was the Friday, a week before the convention was supposed to open.
T-minus 7 days.
Yeah. So what ended up finally happening... many hours later, was the organizers said, yes, we have run into some trouble, so we're going to have to postpone the convention.
Ooh.
Now, this is where things get really dicey.
Oh, goody.
They're not canceling the show. They're postponing it. Tell everyone, well, your tickets will still be good on the new date whenever we figure out when that is going to be.
Which means...
no refunds.
Of course.
All sales are final.
Oh.
And a lot of people have, at this point, a week from the convention.
Oh, yeah.
Non-refundable airfare.
Uh-huh.
Hotels booked in other, that are not part of the convention space where they still have reservations.
Uh-huh.
Time taken off from work. And for vendors,
uh-huh,
they have not only bought booth space, many of them have already shipped their stuff to the convention center.
Because smart vendors will do that, because it's cheaper that way.
Right.
Oh.
So, all out of pocket. Uh-huh. And this, now we're off to the races. Especially within that first day, people started doing some deep dives.
Oh boy.
And they noticed, wait a minute, let's look at all the board of directors for this convention. And the one name I do remember is Ty Pham.
Okay.
Who was on the board of directors. He was also on the board of directors for a convention called PrideCon.
Okay.
PrideCon was meant to be a LGBT convention.
Go figure. It says what's on the label.
And it also didn't happen.
Oh.
And it also didn't give refunds.
Oh.
And it turns out there was a, I forget the name of the other one, but there was an Asian culture-based fan convention, same person, same story.
Fascinating.
So this starts getting people going, okay, what?
Uh-huh. I mean, once is odd. Mm-hmm. Two times is a coincidence. Three times, uh-uh.
Now, at this point, and people are really coming down hard on the, what do you mean we're not getting our money back?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're postponing? Where are you going to get the money for another date?
Yeah.
You know, because we're certainly not going to give it to you.
Exactly.
So people start trying to do chargebacks. Of course, one of the problems is, well, we don't have the event was canceled, just postponed. Yeah, So that some people were getting successful chargebacks, some people weren't. And of course, the real question everyone asks is, where's the money?
Oh, yeah.
Now, some journalists, I found this on the site Women Write About Comics. And this was, so the article was written by Jasmine Joyner, who had been approached by one of the convention organizers. I'm going to go ahead and name names. This is Jamie Bradnox, who was one of the Black Nerd Girls, Black Girl Nerds site, had initially approached her to be an accessibility consultant for the convention, which she turned down due to lack of compensation. So Joyner did a lot of research and came up with some very interesting facts about the convention. Because she did a hard work, I want to make sure she's getting the credit
totally
for this. Part of it was a breakdown of the pledges, which part of the pledge levels for the original Kickstarter included guaranteed autograph and photo opportunities with the guests. But we are talking about, I think she finally calculated out that all said and done, you would have, I'm going to see if I can find the number, close to 1,000 autograph and photo sessions guaranteed by the Kickstarter levels. Now, for the guests, that's how they make money.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So the guests either should agree ahead of time, sure, I will donate this time to the convention, or the convention has to recompensate them for the, on some occasions, very expensive level. So that off the bat... Well, seems somewhat sketchy.
Well, if we're going to, while you're reading on that, let's just break it down. On behalf of someone who has worked for a large convention in the area in the past, 1,000 photo ops or 1,000 autographs, you are essentially buying, in addition to getting the thing signed or the shiny 8x10 glossy, you're also getting a minute of that person's time.
Yeah.
It sounds silly. It sounds overly expensive, especially when you think about people like Sir Patrick Stewart, who charge $100. I still got a chance to talk about Shakespeare with Sir Patrick Stewart. And that was worth every last penny of that $100 that I spent. But it's still a minute of his time.
Yeah.
1,000 autographs or 1,000 pictures is 1,000 minutes. Yeah. That's most of a con day.
So, yeah, this is where things start falling apart. And so, of the two main organizers, the founders, again, you had Broadnex, who was from Black Girl Nerds, and then you had Robert Butler, who was the CEO of the Black Geeks, which is he's a podcaster. No. So he's one of our brethren.
Yes, well, in name only.
Yeah, Broadnex has tried to distance herself from her organizing role.
With good reason.
More and more. Butler initially said he was going to go online and do a Periscope on what happened, which never materialized.
Go figure.
Of course, we already talked about Tai Pham, who was the Vice President of Convention Operations and Entertainment, and his mysterious convention past.
The third strike, you're out, dude.
But the one I really find interesting is Tom Leonard.
Okay.
So Tom Leonard was listed on the website as Vice President of Marketing and Sales. So Joyner did a lot of research on Mr. Leonard, and one of the things she found is there were multiple Twitter accounts for a Tom Leonard all using the same photo shown on the convention's website.
Okay.
As best as she can tell, Tom Leonard appears to be a service you can hire where they will create a Twitter bot to promote your brand. So it will go out to people and encourage them to, you know, join us at Universal FanCon.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry, what Leonard?
Tom Leonard.
Interesting.
So, yeah, the appearance is he is a... There probably is a real Tom Leonard. But there are really seem a lot of accounts, and from best we can tell, it's a bot.
On the internet, no one can tell you're a bot. Yeah. I love it.
And, well, yeah, but on the con committee,
Yeah.
He's a VP. This bot is a VP of a convention. So this is...
There's an AI joke in there somewhere, and I just can't put my finger on it.
So the final point of this is, so at this point, there has... The only official communications that have come out from the convention were some Twitter mentions by the two founders.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sent an email, not to the people who had tickets to the convention, but the Kickstarter backers.
Ooh. Okay.
Announcing the postponement.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they didn't do when they sent out that email?
I'm totally blind on this. I don't know the story behind, but I'm going to make a wild shot in the dark and say that they didn't BCC everybody.
See, you're brilliant. You win a prize. The prize is that you've guessed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't BCC. So everyone's email was exposed to everyone else.
Of course.
So now that I think we just chalk up to incompetence.
You can chalk up to incompetence. You can also chalk it up to that. You will see all those names again sometime soon in a class action lawsuit against these people.
Yeah. Now, eventually the convention organizers did reach out to the ticket holders and tell them about the postponement.
About damn time.
Two days before the convention was set to begin.
Wow. So the excrement hit the air conditioning the Friday before the con.
Right.
And then Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday before the con, everyone else, we mere mortals get an, oh, by the way.
Yeah. To the point of, because no one had told certain people, there had been money spent. There were banners welcoming the convention up in Baltimore because nobody had canceled the banners.
Of course.
And even though there was efforts to get out the word, people still showed up at the convention center.
Wow.
Now, there is, oddly enough...
oddly enough just doesn't cover it in stuff like this.
Well, in this case, it really almost fits because, oddly enough, there is a somewhat silver lining to all these shenanigans.
Okay.
Some other enterprising... So here's the issue. You have a convention that is being set up as being a safe space for diversity.
Right.
You know, a real attempt to do a marginalized fans convention. And it turns out that...
Well, I mean, it's not like they could just go down to Starbucks and hang out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You went there.
I'm topical for once. Come on.
But... knowing that a lot of people were not going to be able to refund their airplane tickets,
uh-huh,
and had a choice of either eating the cost or coming to Baltimore, a group led by an organization called Black Heroes Matter formed a pop-up convention called, I guess it was called We Comic Con. Now, Because named off of this after the street where they found space to hold a one-day pop-up convention. So it was a chance for people who were still coming to Baltimore to still have a convention and a chance for those vendors to get their stuff over there and still have some sales.
That is awesome. Well done.
On top of that...
Ooh, there's more.
There was a huge effort to get the word out to various people following. The names of the vendors who had gone to sell, who were going to be out of pocket, to drum up online sales for them.
Awesome.
And also promote the guests. This was all... So while there were absolutely shenanigans...
Oh, yeah.
There were other people who decided to step up and get something done. And here's the thing. They had less than a week to organize this convention. Okay. And they still made it happen.
Nice.
Whereas 2 years and a $52,000 Kickstarter got to...
And they weren't able to do it.
Well, here's one of the things somebody pointed out. They were going... given a lot of stuff seems dicey. But if we're going to give the benefit of a doubt...
Do we have to?
I'm going to for a moment.
Okay.
Let's live in a world where we give a benefit of a doubt. If we give the benefit of a doubt, then the major sin is they made the mistake a lot of first-time conventions make. They actually made the mistake DashCon made.
They went big.
Right. First year.
Their
eyes were bigger than their stomach.
Exactly.
And they should have started smaller, more marginal, but no, they wanted the big space.
Of course.
And they couldn't handle it. So that is the, if we are being kind. Now, the Black Heroes Matter folks did pretty good putting on a one-day show last minute.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose knowing they had a captive audience, and they also didn't make a lot of money.
Of course not.
Because they were honoring tickets for Universal FanCon.
That, you know, I gotta give a shout out to those folks. If they, not only to be able to manifest it out of thin air, mm-hmm. and to openly invite all the people who had tickets to something where they're not gonna see a dime out of it, and still put on something that not only supports the community, supports the artists, and supports geekdom in general. I mean, that is some seriously awesome work. And I got to say, well done to the WeComicon?
It's spelled WICOMICON. I think Wickham is the name of the street it was located on.
WickhamCon.
So they were naming themselves after the street, and then just adding a little to make it a convention. So here's the devastating part for a lot of people.
Okay.
One of the guests was going to be LeVar Burton.
Yes.
LeVar Burton went on Twitter.
Ooh.
LeVar Burton used profanity.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Actually, that's the word he used. That word that you just used, you using our one cuss word for the episode?
That's the one cuss word for the day.
He said that, only he put the word show after it.
Yes.
He was deriding and somebody responded, if LeVar Burton was that upset with me, I don't know if I could live with myself.
I was going to say, that's like getting cussed out by Mr. Rogers.
It is, exactly. That's what a lot of people said. So there were people like, I grew up, this is how I learned English, was watching LeVar Burton.
And now you have a new word for your vocabulary.
And everyone was like, what have you done in life that LeVar Burton is disappointed in you? And I'm like, you know what? Even though I'm not quite the right age for the Reading Rainbow, yeah. I roots and Star Trek, but I still understand the importance that LeVar Burton and his work had in a lot of young people, especially young people of color growing up, that yes, this to me would be Mr. Rogers is upset with you, Jeff.
Yeah. Stand in the corner and think about what you've done.
It's time to really reassess my life because LeVar is not happy with my conduct.
Mr. Burton is not happy.
Not happy with my conduct. Yeah, you don't get to call him LeVar anymore.
Yeah, no. And you don't even have to worry about mistaking him for Tim. Mr. Burton is unhappy.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those, I'm just, you know, there are other conventions trying for similar demographics coming up.
Of course.
WakandaCon comes to mind. And it's like, you know, the problem is the people who would decry the attempts to do a convention like this, you're just giving them ammo.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and that's, again, why there's that part of me that hopes it's just incompetence.
Yeah.
But even though the evidence suggests otherwise, it's just, it hurts. I'm not even the audience, and it hurts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I gotta say, if it weren't for having the bot on your executive staff and having someone who not once, not twice, but this makes his third time of having a phony con.
A vaporware con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta say, though, two things. One, part of me is thrilled at the idea of the growth and expansion of the con world,
right,
shall we say, there is part of me that is similarly frustrated because if you want to chisel down to the caustic black heart that you know beats inside my chest, it's an acknowledgement that geeks have money. Just as Black Panther is an acknowledgement that minority people and people of color have money and that they want to try and cash in on it. Yeah. That's the frustrating part of all this, yeah. is that con has become, well, synonymous for con.
You know, it's difficult. And, I mean, there's a reason why we have had a reoccurrent segment on this show.
Yeah.
About conventions behaving badly. So, but again, like you said, if nothing else, let's celebrate that Black Heroes Matter.
Yeah.
Came up and earned their name.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I will agree to that.
So.
So are we done?
I think we're done with okay. that.
Can I just toss in as a small segue? The fact that I'm deeply amused. When I am not hosting a hugely popular nerd culture podcast.
Said that with a straight face. It was amazing.
I know. That's why you don't play poker with me. I also ride my motorcycle a lot. And sure. I prefer riding through back roads and small roads and small towns. And I'm going to share something with our local listeners. There is actually a town of Wakanda in Washington.
Spelled the same way?
There's a U in there. Okay. W-A-U, Wakanda. But you can go to Wakanda, and there's nothing there. It's as if the shield is working.
Okay, see, now you've caused trouble, mister.
Yes.
Because now we have to broadcast far and wide.
Yes.
That this thing is happening.
That Wakanda is really happening. The only thing that's there right now, or at least the last time I passed through Wakanda, is a post office.
Interesting.
And it's painted like purple and yellow and blue. And it's, I mean, you can't miss the thing. It's the only...
So, I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to ask.
Why not?
Where in Washington is Wakanda?
It's really nowhere. If you go over Highway 20, once it is back open,
mm-hmm.
and you continue heading east on Highway 20 past Omak, okay, but so... not all the way to Kettle Falls, you will pass through the speed bump that is Wakanda, Washington.
So the nearest largest city you can point to is Omak.
Yes. And I love you, Jim and Dave, but yeah, that's saying something right.
Here's some, because Omak, by the way,
uh-huh.
is the name of a comic book character.
Really?
Omak, One Man Army Corps.
Awesome! I love that title. We could work out a whole, I mean...
Now, he's a DC character.
Oh,
and then later you had the Omak virus, which it was a weird thing.
Well, of course, with it's DC, it's dark.
It is dark.
So dark. Are you sure you're not part of the DC universe?
Yeah.
Best line I have heard out of the Deadpool series yet.
God, I cannot wait. Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay, yes.
We're going to take stuff a little out of order today, okay. just because I'm in a saucy mood, and we've been talking a long time about conventions behaving badly.
Because it was so bad.
It really was bad. I also want to, we know we can't get too in-depth on Infinity War.
Well.
But we will, before we get there.
Oh.
Briefly. So... You and I have talked before about this. One of the things I had written for the site when I was doing articles,
mm-hmm.
I had coined a term, the Chloe syndrome.
Oh, yes.
And this is the, and I've mentioned it before on the podcast, this is the syndrome where, especially a CW show, because they love their triangles, you have the designated romantic pair
right.
From Smallville, Clark and Lana. Who have, even though they are canonically from the comics, the high school sweethearts,
mm-hmm.
have no romantic chemistry whatsoever between the actors.
Oh, yes, that's horrible, isn't it?
And what becomes the Chloe syndrome is when you have another part of the potential triangle, the third wheel, who will never actually succeed romantically, but has all the chemistry
yes.
with the main actor. This was Chloe on Smallville.
Oh, okay.
Hence the Chloe syndrome. And I've seen this repeat on many shows since where, oh, these two are supposed to be a couple, but oh boy, their chemistry sucks. Oh, but it works great. The only show that ever dealt with it right was Arrow, where they had, oh, Oliver and Laurel are the canonical couple. Boy, those two just nothing. But this third character is Felicity. Wow, they work great. And the producers went, you know what? Let's not make Smallville's mistake.
Yes.
Laurel, you know, it's Green Arrow, not Superman. Fine. Oliver's in love with Felicity.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Let's do it. And the show has been the better for it.
Well, it's Arrow, but it's still.
Arrow. Yeah, yeah. the first and, in a lot of ways, the least of the Arrowverse shows.
Well, Steve Amell has done some good things.
I love Steve Amell. I enjoy the show, although it's disappointing me, but that's not what I want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
What I want to talk about is the actress who played Chloe on Smallville.
Oh, right.
Allison Mack.
Okay.
Who is in the news right now for having been arrested on charges of sex trafficking. Ooh. As part of a sex cult.
Ooh. Ouch.
Now, this is where we get... Because her character had the very wholesome vibe.
Of course.
To her, she was very girl next door-ish.
Yes.
Although the quirky girl next door.
The best kind.
You know, kind of short, perky, blonde, megawatt smile.
Yes.
Yeah. And I will certainly admit that as a fan of the show at the time, it would certainly be my preference.
Yeah.
Well, she got involved with this group called Nexium.
Isn't that the...
It is not the over-the-counter medicine. They spell it differently. They spell it without vowels, so it's like N-X-I-M.
Of course.
Like. Anyway, the point is she was part of this group which was supposed to be a self-help group, an empowerment for women. It was a pyramid scheme.
With sex.
Well, there was an inner group called...
Bad pun.
DOS. I don't know if they actually...
DOS, did. Like the operating system?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And that's where the sex trafficking got involved.
Right.
Because they would bring in women who would come in as slaves and were being blackmailed into having sex with the group's leader, the only man involved.
Of course.
And his main recruiter was allegedly Allison Mack.
Oh.
And this gets to the point of they branded women.
Ah, no, 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 no.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. And the only reason we bring it up is, again, it's getting traction in the media because attractive Hollywood actress.
Well.
Somebody with a fan following.
That's the big thing. That's the big thing. Because, I mean, I got to say, when. Okay. But as an example, for just a brief moment. Many of you know I'm originally from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yes. I am, of course, well aware of this
fact.
Yes,
you are now. And, you know, most of our listeners are. However, every single time Utah is in a headline, I reflexively flinch. Every time I see the words sex cult in the news, I flinch. Because, and I double check it to make sure that the words Wicca or Thelema are not involved with it in any way, shape, or form. Because people love lurid details. They love the idea of being involved in this. And to quote a dear, dear friend of mine who has spent many, many years, he has been quoted as saying, my life in the sex cult, paperwork, paperwork, paperwork. Because that's all it is paperwork.
Well, okay, but he is part of a group where they are a sex cult only very technically. And more to the point, they're very consensual.
Yes, consent is a very important part of this.
In fact, you really have to work hard to get in.
Well, in more ways than one, but yes.
And so, yeah, that's a whole different ballgame than
actual blackmail and branding and pesky things that do not involve consent.
And pyramid scheme aspects. You brought in as a slave, but you could become a master by bringing in...
Ugh, God, that now, there just is, makes me...
There is thought that as they dig into this, they may find that Mac is as much victim as perpetrator.
Yes, that's a possibility. I mean, was it wanting to come from the malevolent and... Yeah. Wow. Because, I mean, hell, at least the Scientologists only take 10%. I mean...
All right. You did it. We're going to get... We might letters.
Woo! Fan mail!
They'll have to find us. However, you make a great segue. Speaking of sex cults and Scientology connections.
Oh, yeah. If I start getting hate mail in the mail, we're going to have to have a talk.
Instead of going straight to movies, I want to go to TV.
Okay.
Because of this great segue.
Ah.
So, as people who are familiar with the site Fanboy News Network may know, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, one of the articles I wrote back in the article days was about a man named Jack Parsons.
Jack Parsons is an amazing, outstanding human being.
The title of the article was Jack Parsons, the Rocket Magician.
Yes!
Which, listeners, if you haven't gone and read the article, because I'm not going to go in-depth on Parsons' histories right now, but I would recommend it because my article, I think, is a good overview and also discusses his connections to geek culture.
Yes!
Parsons is the real quick, dirty lesson about Jack Parsons is Jack Parsons was one of the founders of Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Yes.
He had no formal training as a scientist.
He had no formal training. He had a high school diploma.
However, he compensated that by being a freaking genius.
And a pyromaniac.
So he was one of the main inventors of solid rocket fuel.
Yes.
Werner von Braun has said that Jack Parsons should actually be considered the father of modern rocketry,
yeah,
not himself. However, that would never happen because, aside from being a scientist, Parsons was one of the leading occultists of his day.
Yes.
He was the head of the American branch of the OTO, or the Thelemites, the religious organization founded by Aleister Crowley.
A.K.A. the wickedest man in England.
Which, again, sex cult.
Yeah.
And he was very much a proponent in that age of free love.
Yes.
And...
Well, and see, that's the thing. Free love, for those who have experienced it, is a wonderful and happy thing. It has nothing to do with sex cult.
Right. But still, Parsons and...
Put it in the news.
And another interesting fact about Parsons is one of his early magical working partners was L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, him.
So... Why are we talking about this?
Why are we talking about this, Jeff?
Because CBS Access, CBS's online streaming service.
The ones that did the new version of Star Trek.
Right. They have a new series coming out called Strange Angel, a biography of Jack Parsons.
Oh, my. That could be fun.
Yeah, so...
It's network television, though, so I guess...
No, it's not network television. It's a streaming service.
Yeah, but it's CBS. They're not going to do...
I hear they allow curse words on Star Trek. I don't know.
That wasn't what I was hoping for, but okay.
But no, it looks like they're going as lurid as you would expect for how a mainstream media company would probably cover Jack Parsons. But on the other hand, you cannot ignore his contribution to science.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like that movie that came out last year, the Professor Marston and the Wonder Women.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful and awesome exploration of, at the same time, the history and origin of the Wonder Woman comic books, and also explores alternative forms of sexuality and love.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, you get a twofer.
So basically, there's going to be a TV series about Jack. And my question is, are they actually going to cover the Hubbard stuff? Because that's actually pretty prominent in his story.
Yes.
So it's just, it, to me, it's fascinating. Just fascinating that they're telling his story. The thing is, again, a reason I wrote an article is many writers, especially science fiction and fantasy writers, have picked up this fascinating man's life and written about it. In fact, it was writing a story about Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard,
mm-hmm,
that was quashed by DC Comics for his anthology series that had... Alan Moore say, that's it, I'm never working with you guys again.
Interesting. Especially seeing as that, well, also parts of that same story fit into one of the very first episodes of Sandman.
Yeah.
But, and here's a bonus. I'm looking through on the Strange Angel site right now. One of the lead women is Bella Heathcote, who was one of the women, well, it was Olive Byrne, in Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman.
Okay. So yeah, so that's going to happen. I find it interesting. When I saw the ad, it came out of nowhere, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
That's a shut up and take my money.
Well, especially because, again, I've been fascinated with his story because it's got so many interesting... Even his death.
Yeah.
He even died in a spectacular fashion.
Yes.
And so, which gives them a lot of material to do a series on.
And you know that they're actually may be quote-unquote serious about it because the subtitle is Sex, Magic, Rocket Science. And the magic is spelled with a K.
Yeah. So I'm sure we have friends who are going to go, what?
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So it's...
Ooh, Ridley Scott is an executive producer too.
Well, that's good. Again, good sign.
Yeah. I mean,
this, the ad I saw didn't look cheap.
If they got Ridley Scott on this thing, the man who brought you Aliens and Blade Runner and, yeah, moving on.
Right. So, well, we're pretty deep into the episode, so it's time. We got to see if we can find some way to talk about Avengers Infinity War without spoilers. This is as hard a movie to not spoil as Cabin in the Woods.
So, which I still haven't seen, by the way. Here's my take on it.
All right.
Okay. You have heard me, and y'all have heard me on a regular basis, talk about the power of the mouse.
Right. You know,
in the name of the mouse, thou shalt be entertained, is a common refrain of mine. The mouse is many things. A multinational, multi-billion dollar conglomerate notwithstanding. The mouse is not stupid. This is a chess game, and it was a very well executed, albeit surprising, move.
Well, so without spoilers,
of course.
I know the way I greeted you at dinner was on a scale of Sophie's Choice to Old Yeller. How traumatized were you by watching Avengers: Infinity War? But here's the real
on thing. A scale of Luke Skywalker to Jaime Lannister. How are you feel about your sister?
Right now. Here's the thing, and I'm going to, again, give credit where credit is due.
Yes.
As a fan of the streaming show Radio Dead Air.
Yes.
The host of that show, Nash Bozard, who's also a deep cut. He's as bleeding edge a geek as I am.
Ooh, okay.
And he had pointed out, and looking back, I was like, I have to agree with him. People freak out with the Marvel movies because it's like, well, they don't do things you normally do in a movie. It's like, well, no, they don't, because they're not structured like a normal movie series.
No.
You cannot look at the Marvel movies as a normal movie series. They follow largely the structure of actual comic books.
Yeah.
And so what we've had so far are the individual issues.
Mm-hmm.
With the Avengers, we've had the team book.
Yeah.
With Captain America Civil War, we've had the big event within a series.
Yeah.
So with Infinity War, we have the mega summer crossover event.
The barn burner, yeah.
Infinity War is the first part of the crossover event. We are now going to have, of the main series of the crossover, we are now going to have the individual crossover issues.
Where the individuals deal with repercussions.
And then we're going to have the next part of the event.
Interesting. Okay.
So the next Avengers movie will be the culmination. And part of the story of Infinity War, because of how they've set it up, will be covered on some level within the next couple of Marvel movies.
I wonder how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to deal with
that. That's also, they've said they are going to touch on it.
Good.
They said they are going to touch on it. So, interestingly, they made a choice to not have it have a major tie-in with it in the first episode after the movie came out.
Strange, because they've done that in the past.
Well, or the movie, the episode that opened that weekend.
Yeah.
So, maybe the next episode, which will be the true. But the point is, that's the real structure. I know there was a New Yorker article reviewing Infinity War that was tearing it apart, largely because the reviewer couldn't get past the fact that it was doing a structure you don't normally see in movies, where it's like, characters just appear with no explanation. And it's like,
if you haven't seen the previous 17, yeah, I suppose.
And that's the point. He's like, why didn't they get introduced in this movie? Because the whole point of the Marvel movies is you don't have to introduce Spider-Man or Doctor Strange or Groot, because we've met them already. We know their backstories. We know what they're about.
Exactly. No, you don't need to spend... I mean, my God, there's how many top named stars, top named superheroes in this show. If you spent 5 minutes on each one,
that's half the movie.
That's more than half the movie.
So, yeah, the Marvel movies, because they're following the comic book structure, don't have to tell us who the characters are. Yeah. We've met them. Yeah. They've had entire movies, so we understand why Doctor Strange is a cranky man and why Spider-Man is so excited.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about, like, okay, the movie wasn't the best. However, the comic books were amazing. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
You don't need to spend 10 pages, 20 pages talking about who Mycroft Holmes is, because it's Mycroft Holmes.
Exactly. So that's what you're dealing with. We're dealing with a whole different level of movie making.
Yeah.
Marvel is doing its own thing. At this point, the only franchise I think that can match them for that we already know people is Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to explain who Luke Skywalker or Han Solo is. They were our childhood.
Exactly.
They appear, we're ready. The Solo movie is already going to have the build. They don't have to explain Han or Chewie or Lando.
Yeah.
We know these guys.
Let's just put a bit of a fine point on it, shall we?
Let's.
As far as the Star Wars comparison, for just a brief moment, people who were 20 years old when Star Wars came out are starting to retire.
Yeah.
That is how ubiquitous a part of this culture Star Wars is.
Yeah.
So.
And Marvel has a history going all the, if you count Captain America, going back to the 40s.
Yeah.
And the mainstream Marvel universe back to the 60s.
Yeah.
So that, plus the movies have built the universe and built it intricately.
And well, in 10 years, they've created 18 movies that are not only stand on their own and interconnect and build a narrative. I mean, you know, we've talked before about the idea of how the difference between a single movie versus 10 episodes on Netflix is apples and oysters different because of how much you can build into that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take 18 movies that weigh in over 2 hours each and compare that even to a season or two or three of any television show.
The other thing that I think is interesting, so Marvel's biggest complaint that it received was outside of Loki, you know, very, very light villains. Not a lot. And the thing is, people pointed, but then in Phase 3, apparently somebody went, yeah, let's fix that.
Yeah.
Which is where we end up with things like Killmonger, who is one of the most nuanced characters in the movie. And has some of the most powerful dialogue. I think the same could be said of Thanos. Money well spent hiring Josh Brolin.
Who's going to have a lovely year, no matter how really you want
is.
To slice
it. But here's the other thing, and this is not a spoiler because it's not plot related at all. But you know that Marvel and Disney overall, but Marvel in particular, has been working with Andy Serkis.
Oh yes,
and both as a mentor on the mocap performances, but also the technology.
Yeah,
Thanos as just a physical presence. At times, you kind of lose the he's CGI. They give him weight. He feels like he belongs in the world.
Good.
He has weight. He has presence. You feel that when he's interacting with things, there's real interaction going on. It's like they took the beginnings. They started with Gollum. And the evolution is the evolution that was early CGI monsters to Gollum. That we've gotten that now to, it's Scorpion King to Gollum.
Ugh.
Now we've got Gollum to Thanos. That's the same level of leap, but it's just refining the technology because you've got a group that's all they've been doing.
Yes.
Is refining that tech. And so Thanos just feel, I mean, it doesn't feel like they were interacting with somebody in a mocap suit, even though that's what they were clearly doing. Dust kicks up when he steps.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an attention to detail that just... So basically, he really quickly hits a point where he is not a distraction to the story.
He bridges that uncanny valley quite well.
Really does. It never at that point seems strange.
The, well, You talk about Andy Serkis and the work that he's been doing with the motion capture and whatnot. I just recently spent some time at the Bruce Lee. It's not the Bruce Lee Museum. It's the Wing Luke Museum, and there's a Bruce Lee exhibit in it.
Sure.
Which is a wonderful thing. If you get a chance, it's in the International District in Seattle, the Wing Luke Museum of Asian American Experience. But what there's a line from Bruce that springs to mind where he says, "I don't fear a man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once. I fear a man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times."
Yeah.
And that is what Andy Serkis is doing. Well, Andy Serkis and his team, he's not programming at all himself, but they are making huge leaps in progress as far as stuff like that is concerned.
Well, especially because, I mean, I think he very candidly recognized this was a future in film. And decided that damn it, I'm going to be at the front of that future.
Indeed. So, and he's been doing an amazing job.
So, yeah. As for the story, like I said, we're in the middle of a comic book crossover. We're just going to have to wait a year for the conclusion. Up until then. And I think this is you do notice a difference in the reaction of the people who came to these movies as the hardcore comic book fans like I am versus the people who are coming to these movies who just know them from the movies.
Yeah.
As a hardcore comic book fan. Because here's the thing, without, again, giving spoilers.
Of course not.
This movie is based on three different Thanos stories. One of those stories, and it's following the plot. It's integrating, but largely following the plot of the original story, The Infinity Gauntlet.
Go figure.
So, all I will say is, where we are with this movie is very much where we were in the middle of The Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
And I know how Infinity Gauntlet ended.
Exactly.
They're going to have to recast. Much as Hank Pym did not create Ultron, Tony Stark did, because we hadn't introduced Hank Pym in the universe yet.
How about that?
Our big hero, our big surprise hero for Infinity War will probably have to be someone else than it was in the comics, because that character also hasn't been introduced. And it would take too much. I have my suspicions. I will not say them because I am working very hard to be spoiler free here.
As well you should.
That's it. Like I said, this has been sort of an oddly structured episode.
Indeed, but you know.
But I think we did.
We're allowed.
We're allowed, and I am sure at some point in the near future, we may feel free to actually openly discuss elements of Infinity War. Suspect that'll be sometime in the summer when the DVD comes out.
Well, there's that, or you know, once I finally actually get a chance to see it.
Yeah, there is that, but you are the man who fears no spoiler.
I fear no spoiler, and frankly, you know, if I can jump in one last little tidbit. Speaking of movies,
yeah.
Finally got to see Shape of Water.
Okay.
Which was gorgeous. Oh my heavenly days. I gotta say, if people talk about the fact that science fiction and fantasy and don't win Best Picture Academy Awards, they just win Special Effects Awards. This one won both, and it earned every last one of them.
Yeah.
That was a gorgeous movie, beautifully directed, wonderfully acted. And it was, if that is the first sci-fi fantasy movie to win an Academy, to win a Best Picture, I'm good with that.
I want to say, didn't Lord of the Rings?
It didn't get Best Picture.
Oh, you're right. It was McKellen.
Yeah.
McKellen won. Yeah, this is, of course, as we discussed when we were talking about the Oscars a while back, and Guillermo del Toro finally won his Oscar.
Yes.
Well earned.
Oh my, yes.
Both by this movie and his whole career.
Exactly. No, it blew me out of the water to see it. And it was also fun to go back and realize that one of the weird, creepy, but good movies that I'd seen a couple years ago was also him. The Devil's Backbone.
Oh, yeah.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, he's got a perchance for interesting fairy tales.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Usually from those, with a sympathetic monster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His monsters are never the supernatural creature.
Yeah. Oh, and they're never the bad guy.
No, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the only other thing I've seen recently, I saw a movie, The Lodgers.
Okay.
A I guess you would almost call it Victorian, not quite Victorian, but early turn of the century England. It's a Gothic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a done in the Gothic style.
Mm-hmm.
So it with a lot of the various Gothic, creepy old house, odd siblings, distrustful villagers. It was very much Jill's aesthetic.
Shocked.
And I enjoyed it, but it was one of those, I don't think I enjoyed it quite as much. I think that I've liked the other work of the director,
mm-hmm.
but who I cannot remember which the other movie was right now or the his name, but it was one of those, I enjoyed it. On the other hand, it was like, okay, but my brain couldn't quite pick out the flaws. The other thing I did watch recently, since we just passed May Day.
Yes.
I convinced the horror movie crowd, we need to watch Wicker Man.
Yes, the original, yeah. The classic.
And you sit there and it's like, Christopher.
Yes.
And somebody's like, it's a shame he passed. To which I said, that's what he wants you to think.
Indeed. Indeed-ly-dee.
So with that, I think it's time to, unless you got something else you want to bring up.
Not, can't brain have the dumb.
Got it. All right, well. Again, as always, thank you all for listening. And if you'd like to reach out to Daniel and I and question us on our choices.
Oh, don't do that. Please don't question me on my choices.
We can be reached at fanboynewsnetwork.com. Just leave us a message in the comments section. We will return, we always say 2 weeks. We lie.
Oh, well.
We'll be back near. We'll be back. Hey, you know what? We'll be back in time to talk to you about Solo.
Or at least Deadpool.
Yeah.
So.
All right. In the meantime, you all take care.
Take care, y'all.
This program is produced by Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network and is copyright 2018 to Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network. All rights are reserved, including rights to copy and redistribute this program. All music in this podcast comes from the Footage Firm and is used under a royalty-free license.